To tell this story right, we need a historian. I drove to the Levine Museum of the New South in Uptown and picked up staff historian Tom Hanchett.
Hey there.
Good to see you.
Yeah, you too.
So we'll turn right on Brevard up here.
We parked at 3rd and Caldwell, and Hanchett started the tour of what used to be Brooklyn.
So here we are in the middle of historic Second Ward, and it doesn't look particularly historic. We're in the middle of a parking lot, and that's what a lot of the old Brooklyn neighborhood became. Brooklyn was a city within a city.
It began in the 1880s with the Myers Street School. It was the first black graded school in the county, and families moved from all over for a chance to educate their children. Meanwhile, segregation was intensifying, pushing families and businesses out of other areas of town. They resettled into the area that by the early 1900s was called Brooklyn, after the New York borough, Hanchett says.
You would have seen a very economically diverse neighborhood. So you had everything from the poverty of Blue Heaven all the way up here to Brevard Street, where one of the houses that's gone now was the home of Dr. J.T. Williams, who was one of the first African-American medical doctors in North Carolina. Everyone lived in Second Ward as long as you had black skin.
When I came to Brooklyn, just to compare that, it's like going from Charlotte to New York City.
Price Davis walked into Brooklyn every day to attend Second Ward High School in the 1930s. UNC Charlotte recorded his and others' recollections of Brooklyn as part of an oral history project.
A lot of people, a lot of action and whatnot.
We had the police city, pharmacy.
Vermel Ellie.
Isla Drug, a shoe shop that was run by Mr. McKissick. We had barbershop. Beauty shops.
You had speakeasies, you had cafes, you had friends, taxi cab places. These are all black owned businesses.
What's a speakeasy?
The speakeasy was where you rang the doorbell and you look up and the guy would drop you the key and you go upstairs and buy yourself a drink of alcohol.
Few hints remain as Hanchett and I look around.
You can see the multi-plane roof, the fancy church roof of Grace AME Zion Church.
There's a plaque where Second Ward High School once stood, a few photos, and the gym survives.
Behind the trees there near the Bartlett Pears, you can see the back of the Mecklenburg Investment Company building.
The city tore down most of the rest starting in 1963 as part of a national campaign called Urban Renewal.
What happened in the 50s and 60s happened in every American city. There was money after World War II, government money to remove blight. And the way blight got defined was blight were people who seemed to be in the wrong place. And the people who made those decisions were the people with political power. The people who were the victims of those decisions were the people without political power. And in the South, that meant African Americans, because the Voting Rights Act of 1965 hadn't happened.
City leaders cited the slums, unpaved roads, and the long, thin shotgun house tenements as the reason Brooklyn needed to be raised. But residents remember a mixed-income community, alive with businesses and culture. Vernon Herron grew up on land that's now part of the NASCAR Hall of Fame.
They called it the ghetto. But it was home to me. It was a place of culture. It was a place of residence. It was a place of joy to be rid of the community. But later years, I discovered that they called it a ghetto. I want to know what a ghetto is.
Between 1960 and 1967, more than 1,000 families were displaced from their homes, along with more than 200 Brooklyn businesses. They moved to other areas, including West Charlotte and the new University Park area. But Herron says the sense of community was lost.
They took away our home. They took away our churches. They took away our schools. They took away our culture.
And for the past half decade, Second Ward has been that largely government-owned office district. But in the early 2000s, city leaders proposed a new development to revitalize the area called Brooklyn Village. It quickly became part of a complicated land swap and then lawsuits related to the Charlotte Knights baseball team. You see, when the city wanted to move the minor league team uptown, as well as to build Romare Bearden Park, insurance company MassMutual owned the land the city wanted. It agreed to sell if it got first right to Brooklyn Village.
So that's how the park got where it is and the baseball stadium got where it is.
Jim Doolin is the chairman of Spectrum Properties, the developer MassMutual chose. By 2007, a plan had formed. The county's real estate director, Mark Hahn, describes an 11-acre site at Marshall Park with condos, apartments, retail, and a return to walkable streets with their old Brooklyn names.
When everything was demolished, it sort of got changed from a fine-grained pattern of small houses and streets to what we call mega blocks and large facilities. So part of the idea is breaking up the blocks and then to have different income levels present in the development.
10% of the Brooklyn Village apartments were to be affordable housing, dedicated to families earning less than 30% of median income. They were slated to open in 2011, but when the time came, construction hadn't even started. Doolin and county officials blame a series of lawsuits by Charlotte lawyer Jerry Reese over the Knights baseball stadium. Reese thought the city should pursue a major league team instead, so he initiated at least 8 lawsuits to block the projects involved in the land swap. Judges dismissed those suits, but now Doolin says the recession was in full swing.
So we waited and waited, and when those lawsuits were finished, the condo market had kind of disappeared.
After a series of extensions, Spectrum dropped out of the project entirely last year, and it's been in limbo. But the county remains committed. Last week, commissioners hired a consulting firm to look at options. And many former residents of Brooklyn also support the project. Vernon Heron says he doesn't expect it to recreate what was lost during urban renewal.
I would like to see some of the cultural effects which they took away from us restored, not only for us, but for the entire community.
Part of the plan calls for converting the old high school gym into a museum and a community center. But standing in a half-empty Second Ward parking lot, historian Tom Hanchett reflects there's another, less concrete commemoration of Brooklyn in the county's plan.
The notion that a mixed-income neighborhood can not only exist but can flourish is one that we are now embracing.
We've moved from tearing down neighborhoods like Brooklyn to trying to recreate them. For WFAE News, I'm Ben Bradford in Charlotte.